Well, good morning. So glad to see all of you today and excited that you're here, excited that I get to share a little bit this morning. I'm Sean. I'm the lead pastor here, but this is a little bit of an unusual Sunday. I usually don't get to speak. Our teaching pastor, Andy Stanley, usually does that for us. And so if you're new here, I hope that you'll come back next week because this week's a little different than a normal Sunday. And next week, Andy Stanley is starting a new message series called The Bad Boys of Easter, and you're really going to want to be here to hear what he has to say. So hope you'll come back and see what a normal Sunday looks like for us then. But super glad you're here today, and if you are new, you're going to get a little peek behind the curtain today as well, get to see a little bit about what makes our heart beat and what we think is important and value, and so I'm glad that you're here and think it's going to be a great Sunday for you to be here and to be a part of that. But I love talking to new people, especially about our church, and sometimes one of the things that I forget is that when somebody's new here, they don't know our story and our history and don't know why we're here and why we started and all that sort of thing. And so I think they look at our church and think, well, we're just another church in the community. And maybe we are, but I think those of us that have been here a while, we would have a little bit of a different opinion on that and maybe a little prejudice there. And we think we're anything but that. And so to tell our story a little bit and help you understand a little bit about who we are before we get on to the main thing this morning, I love telling a little bit about this backstory, especially the story about our location. Because when we first started, we actually met about 8 years ago, we started, and we met in the Boys and Girls Club right on the other side of the parking lot here. If you look when you walk out the auditorium today, just look left and you'll see the Boys and Girls Club right over there. And we met there for about a year, and we actually used the parking lot for this building, which was the Northwest Florida Daily News at the time. And we loved it. Great time at the club. That was a great experience for us. But then we outgrew that. We moved to Choctaw High School right over here. And we actually stayed there for about 4 or 5 years. And when we started looking for a permanent facility, we looked all over town. We looked all over. We spent months looking for a place, trying to figure out where that might be. And we ended up coming right back here to the newly vacated Northwest Florida Daily News building and parking in the same parking lot, just on the other side of it. So kind of a crazy story. Some people, when I tell that story, really surprised by that. But I think it's interesting because I think it tells me that God evidently has something in store for our church. There's a reason that he put us here. He has some purpose for us in the community and in this location, and he's trying to do something through that. I have just super confirmation in that as a result of everything that happened through that. Either that or I should have bought a lottery ticket, and it could be that. But one or the other, it's kind of a strange story, but it does tell me, I really do believe, that God has a purpose and intended something great for us here. But when we first started Beachside, we really knew that this community did not need another church. There were plenty of places in this community for church people to attend on a Sunday. And that's not what we were after. It wasn't what we felt like God was calling us to do. But we wanted a place where unchurched people could come and they could begin to explore their faith. A place where unchurched people could come and could begin to ask questions, where they could express doubt, a place where they could just explore their faith and be who they were without being judged, a place where when they came, they would see that values were, that relationships were valued and that they were valued and not just valued for who they might one day become, but for who they are. And we wanted to create a church like that because we felt like this community needed a place like that. But as we did that, it became a very different experience for me. It was just different from anything I had experienced before. And it was different for my kids. And I love talking about their experience with this. And even just this past week, at the time we began Beachside, I had 2 kids in elementary school. And now one of those is off at college, and she was home this past week. And as she was home, we kind of all went out and get some froyo. That's kind of what we do together. Our 2 favorite food groups are frozen yogurt and donuts, as you can tell. So that's what we do together as a family. But we're going out for frozen yogurt, and as we were kind of driving along, we're just talking about family stuff and things in the past and whatever. We weren't talking about church. I didn't prompt any of this. But one of them just kind of piped up and said, "You know what, Dad, do you remember how mad I was at you when you said that you were going to leave our church and we were going to go start a new church?" And I was like, "Yeah, I remember that. I remember that really well," because they were really, really upset with me at that time. And they told me that, and then both of them kind of jumped in and said, "Well, we were wrong. And we're so grateful that we got to be a part of this." And I was like, wow, you know, as a dad, I never get to hear that, you know, that I was right and they were wrong. That never happens. But it was so cool to hear. But I think as I hear that, I know that the reason that our church is so important to my daughters isn't because they have a place to attend on Sundays, but it's because they are engaged in the mission of our church and that they give themselves to it and they get to experience what God can do through them as they serve and as they give and as they do the different things that they do to be a part of the mission of this church and what we get to do together. When we were at Choctaw High School, Callie was in middle school, And she would come with me oftentimes on Sunday mornings at 5:30 in the morning. She would come and be one of the first people, the first person to walk in the doors of the church in order to make coffee for the rest of the volunteers as they showed up. And then she went on to serve in Wambaland. And then she graduated and went off to college, and Peyton came behind her, and Peyton now serves in Wambaland. She's 16 and she's a worship leader in there, and she loves it. Matter of fact, last summer we were going on a family vacation and Peyton had to miss the previous week for some other reason. And we were going to miss a Sunday because of our vacation. And she said, "Dad, I think we need to come back from our vacation early because I can't miss two Sundays in a row." And she said that not out of obligation, but because she loved what she did. And she felt like she wanted to be there, needed to be there for her preschoolers in Wambaland. And I love that. As a parent, I just felt like I was winning. Tammy and I would talk about this and go, you know, we've done something right here, I think. Hopefully, our kids aren't going to become a statistic. They're not going to become one of those 60 to 70% of kids that drop out of church and leave their faith when they leave high school. And so we thought, this is great. This is what we wanted for our kids. But it's not just what we want for our kids. It's what I want for your kids. And ultimately, it's what I want for you. I want you to understand that church and Sundays really can be your best day ever. But this becomes your best day ever when you're a part of what God's doing and you get to be a part of his purpose in it all. And so now I look around and I think, okay, well, we've been here around about 8 years, and you know, we've been able to accomplish a few things and get somewhere. And I wonder what comes next. You know, will the next 8 years look like the past 8 years? I never thought I would work in a church. It wasn't my goal in life. It wasn't anything that I set out to do. There were just crazy circumstances where God provided opportunity and needs, and I had an opportunity to jump in and meet those. But I look at that now and I think, I'm not getting any younger. You know, I don't want to be a part of something where I'm not doing something purposeful. I want to be a part of something that gets to accomplish something that's significant. And I look at that and I think, wow, this is kind of where God's brought me. And I think at this point, Sundays really are my favorite day of the week. I love being here on Sundays and seeing and experiencing what God's doing. I love hearing the stories of people whose lives are being changed because they're entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I love seeing what he's doing in the lives of other people as they begin to grow in their faith and the things that begin to happen. And so Sundays are my favorite day of the week. It's the best day of the week for me. And I see that not just in me, I see it in my kids, but I see it in others as well. I see it every time we play a baptism story and we have the opportunity to celebrate baptism with somebody because we see their life being changed and what God's done through them. But we also know there's a backstory to that, that there's somebody that invited them to come. There's somebody that invested in them and has a vested interest in the outcome for forever for that person. And so you know that that's an incredible Sunday. It's the best day ever for that person that knows that they had an opportunity to play a part in that person's story. And I love that. And I hear this and I see this in people as they go through Starting Point. And I know that there are people in there that are having conversations about faith and just kind of exploring it and trying to figure out what that means. And I know that because I know there are people in there with them who are giving their lives to that, who are serving in a way to be able to help those people with those conversations. And I know there's somebody that invited them to come and helped them enter into those conversations. And I know what a big deal it is to those people. And I see it every time I hear a story, and I hear this story all the time. Over and over, we hear this same story. A parent of a preschooler who says, "My kid woke up on Monday morning crying because they don't get to go to church today." And I love that. I love that we have people who are creating this amazing environment for preschoolers. And they get to see that. And they get to see what's going on in the lives of these preschoolers and be a part of that. And Sundays become such a huge day for them as a result of that. And I see it when I walk past Upstreet on Sunday mornings and I see these elementary kids that are singing and dancing and laughing, having a great time as they're learning these biblical truths that they're going to be able to carry with them for the rest of their lives. And I see it when I go into transit and I see these middle school and high schoolers who are sitting there in a circle at this time in their life, maybe the most confusing time they're ever going to go through. And there's a trusted adult who's sitting there and having conversations with them, knowing that they're helping shape and frame this person's worldview that's going to last forever. And so I see that, and I see what we get to do and what we get to be a part of. And it's awesome to see what God has done. But I also know at this stage of the game, it would be easy for us to begin to coast. Right, as a church, it would be easy for us to celebrate what we've done and to be able to say, okay, well, we're in a facility now for a long time. When we were portable, that was just kind of a dream that might one day come true. We don't have to set up and take down every week, and we're kind of here. So it would be easy for us to step back and take it easy. As individuals, it would be really, really easy for us to come in and just become attenders, to become consumers of all the Christian stuff that we have. It's great to come in and listen to the music and to hear a message that teaches us some great life truths and biblical truths, and to know that we dropped our kids off in a safe environment, in a place where they're having a good time. And so it would be so easy for us to just become consumers of Christianity and to take it all in and to sit back and just to kind of coast for a little while. But I know that if we do that, if that's what we choose to do, that what's ultimately going to happen is that we are going to become bored with our faith and we're going to become dissatisfied customers of the church. Because God didn't intend for us to just be consumers of Christianity. That wasn't why he put the church together. It's not why we're here. He intended us to engage in the mission, to be a part of that with him so that we could experience what he has in store for us and the purpose that he has given us in that to be able to accomplish great things and to be a part of his work in the world. And when we're just attending, we don't get to experience that. Now, some of you, you may be brand new to faith. You may be new to God, just kind of checking this whole thing out. Or maybe you've gone through a difficult season in life and you just need a place to come and sit for a little while and just kind of take it in while God does something in you. Or maybe you're new to the community and you're just trying to find a place where you can belong. And for all those reasons, I love the fact that you get to come and that you get to sit. But if you choose to sit too long, at some point you will become bored and you will become dissatisfied. And although we will never ask you to leave, at some point you'll leave on your own and you'll walk away ultimately mostly from your faith because you will be dissatisfied with what the church has to offer because it is not something that is meant to be consumed. It's something that was meant to be engaged in. And we don't want that for you. We want something better for you. And we think God wants something better for you and has something better for you. And there's a passage of scripture that illustrates this really, really well. And I want to read this to you. And I'm going to read this to you out of a translation of the Bible called The Message. It's actually not a translation. It's a paraphrase. A guy named Eugene Peterson was a pastor. And as he was kind of talking through the book of Galatians, he wanted it to come to life for his church. And so he rewrote it in modern day, just really vivid, alive, lively kind of language so that it would make sense to the people that were reading it and kind of bring it to life for them. And so he did such a good job with that that other people read it and said, wow, that's awesome. Why don't you do more? And so he spent the next 10 years going through and paraphrasing, rewriting the entire Bible into modern language. So if you're not a Bible reader, you need to pick up a copy of The Message and you need to start reading it because it really does bring the Bible to life. But I want to read a passage to you today. I'm going to put it up on the screen in just a minute. But it's from the book of Romans. It's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome a long time ago, but it's so relevant and so just so relevant for us today. And this is what he said from chapter 8. He said, this resurrection life that you've received from God. In other words, this is not an ordinary life, not a normal life, but there was a past event that has given us hope for the future. And that event is the resurrection of Jesus. And because of that, we can look to the past and we can see this event and realize that it gives us hope in the future because we're looking forward to the life that God has established and given to us. He goes on to say, it's not a timid grave-tending life. This isn't something we have to fear. It's not the grave that we look forward to. It's not death that we look forward to in the future. It's life because of the resurrection. He says, and I love these words. He says, it's adventurously expectant. Adventurously expectant. And I love that because it gives me kind of the image of a roller coaster. And some of you may not like roller coasters. I love roller coasters. The older I get, the more nauseated I get on roller coasters. But I love them because you get to climb on this thing and throw your hands in the air and go, what's next? I can't wait to see what's around the next corner. What's this going to look like? What's it going to be like? And it's just this amazingly adventurous, expectant attitude for what's coming next. And I think that's kind of how God intended life to be. I think that's what he wants for us, that we have this adventurously expectant life to know that he's in charge and that there's nothing to fear and that there's something great that's going to be right around the next corner. And I see that and I love that. When we have an opportunity to hear somebody's story who has been introduced to God for the first time and they have their eyes open to this amazing love, to this amazing purpose that they have in life, that maybe 20, 30, or 40 years have gone by and they've just kind of wondered, what's this whole thing all about? You know, what's life really for? And what happens, you know, when I get to the point of death? And that's what they're looking forward to, just wanting to live life any way that they can because they know that death is on the horizon, and that's what they're limited by. And then they get introduced to a relationship with their Heavenly Father, and they see that it's not about death, but it's about life. And they begin to experience his love and his purpose, and it changes everything. It changes their perspective, and that's what we get to do. We get to introduce people to that kind of life, and we get to point people in that direction. I saw a video. I was kind of going through just watching the news online this past week, and a little diversion I took from the political news of the day. I think I was on CNN's website, and there was a video. You may have seen this. It was of a 10-year-old boy who was born colorblind. And he was born colorblind. Evidently, somebody has created some type of glasses that change the wavelength of light. And so someone who can't see color, who can't pick out those particular wavelengths, they put these glasses on and they can see color. And so this dad takes his son out on the back porch and he stands there and tells him to close his eyes and he puts these glasses on him and he says, "Now open your eyes." And the response that this kid had was priceless because he just stood there and stared for several seconds. And then he turned around and he just buried his head in his dad's chest and just began to sob. See, when his eyes got open to the beauty of what was around him that he had never been able to see, it was overwhelming. And he couldn't even come up with a response. And that's what it's like to not have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, to not know that there's a God that loves us, to not know what he has in store for us, and then to realize how much he really does love and care for us and to understand that we have purpose in this world. And that's what we get to do as a church. But the biggest thing, the biggest fear I think that I have is that we would begin to grow numb to the beauty of what we get to see and that we wouldn't do that anymore. But instead of growing numb, what we can do is ask, God, what do you have next? What do you have in store? What do you have next for me? And that's what we get to experience and be a part of. But he continues. He says this, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" That same picture, just a little kid who comes in at the end of the day. Maybe they went out fishing with their dad and came in and said, "Dad, this has just been such a great day and it's been so much fun. It can't be time for bed yet. You know, what's next? What do you have in store for me?" He says, God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. And that idea there is that we get our identity in Jesus. We discover who we are and what our purpose is through our relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, we know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. He's our Heavenly Father. We're his child. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us. And some of you say, okay, stop right there, because that's what I've been waiting on. That's what I know to be true. That when I look at God, all I see is this God who has this list of rules and these regulations and these things that are out there that I'll never be able to live up to. And he's just waiting to try to catch me as soon as I fail and as soon as I break one of those rules. He's waiting to give me the punishment that I deserve. Some of you may have experienced that from your earthly father. Maybe that's what you were taught as a kid. I know there was a time in my life, I don't think anybody tried to teach me that. I just think that's the picture, the image of God that I carried with me for a long time in life, was that there was this God that was just holding me to an expectation that I would never be able to live up to. And as soon as I slipped up and as soon as I failed, then he was going to be there just to make sure that I got the punishment that I deserved. But if that's your view of God, and if that's what you think he has in store for you, I want to see what he said he really has in store for you. He says he has an unbelievable inheritance. An unbelievable inheritance. Isn't that amazing? To think that the God that created this universe and created the beauty of everything that's around us, that created this amazing world and all the things that we get to see and all the things we get to experience. None of it's ours. We're just stewards. We're managers of it. It's God's. But he wants to give it to us. And when we begin to join him in his purposes in the world and we begin to engage in his mission, we get to experience that, some of that inheritance right here on this earth. And we get to see what God has in store for us there. And that's what he wants to give us, is this amazing, incredible inheritance. He says, we go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. That's what he wants for us. That's what he wants for me and for you. But here's what I want for you this morning. I want you to be able to lift your eyes up out of all of the busyness around you. I want you to be able to lift your eyes up out of that. And I want you to see God for who he is. I want you to see him for who he is. And I want you to realize what he's doing in the world. And then understand that he has called you to be right in the middle of it. He's inviting you to come and to be right in the middle of it with him so you can experience that kind of purpose, so that you can experience that kind of life and understand what he has in store for you. There's a guy, a friend of mine named Tom Rhodes, and he attends North Point. Really neat guy. He volunteers in Upstreet there, and he's an architect. And he told me, he said, I started serving in Upstreet because I was doing some design work for the church, and I wanted to see what was going on in these different environments, just so I would know how to better design this space for them. And he got in there and got involved in Upstreet, and God did something in his heart and changed him in some way. And he doesn't serve just in Upstreet anymore. He actually serves with a group of special needs elementary kids in Upstreet each week. And that became such a big deal to him that a couple of times a year he goes to Asia and serves in an orphanage that's just story upon story of special needs kids. And here's what he had to say about his time serving. He said, "It's difficult to go back to a normal everyday Sunday once you've tasted purpose. It's difficult to go back to a normal everyday Sunday once you've tasted purpose." See, that's what we want for you. I want you to taste purpose. I want you to understand that God has a purpose for you, and he wants to use you as a part of his mission and a part of what he's doing in the world. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is to engage in this mission with him, to be a part of it. Because if you are just attending, if you just consume what is there to be offered, you're never going to be satisfied. Now, there's several ways that you can engage in the mission of the church. And the church is just a collection of God's people, and it's us, these people he put together to accomplish this purpose in the world. And there's several ways that you can engage. And I want to tell you, I unapologetically want to ask you to engage in every one of them. Not just pick one, but engage in every one of them. Because every one of them teaches us something different about who God is. Every one of us changes our perspective of God and of the world around us in a different way. And when you participate in these different things, in these different ways, you get to learn something about God, and your perspective begins to change in ways that you just can't imagine. One of those is, I want you to give financially. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And when you begin to turn loose of some of your finances and trust God with those things, then you get to see what you have and what you treasure go to work for his purposes, then your heart begins to change. Your perspective begins to change in a way that it can't change any other way. I want you to connect with people. I want you to connect through a group, through a community group, or maybe through a starting point group. But I want you to find a way to connect, because at some point, as you're building relationships and you're getting to know other people and you're studying God's word with them and you're exploring different issues of faith and talking about those things together, you develop a relationship and a bond with some people that are not only there for you, but at some point, they may need you to be there for them. There are people in this church that need you to be there for them. And as daunting and scary as that may sound, when you have built a relationship with people, there's nothing scary about it. And there's nothing difficult about it. It's just what you do for people when you love and care for them. And so to be intentional about those relationships, to be there for others, will teach you something about God that you won't be able to learn any other way. I also want you to invest in relationships with people outside of the church. I want you to go to people who don't have a relationship with God, and I want you to invest in them and then leverage those relationships to invite them to come and to be a part of what God's doing. Because when you do that, and when somebody comes, and they're the one that's telling their stories, we're celebrating their baptism, and you get to celebrate what God has done in the life of somebody else as he has opened up their eyes to the beauty of what he has in this world and in store for them, it will change your heart and change your perspective in ways that you can't imagine. And not only will they benefit from it, but you're going to benefit from it. Because one of the things that happens as a result of that is you begin to evaluate church differently. Instead of coming in as an attender who becomes ultimately a dissatisfied customer over time because you become bored with your faith, you begin to come in and evaluate what we do through the eyes of your unchurched friend who's walking in for the first time. And when you do that, I promise it'll change your perspective on everything. And you'll begin to see the purpose and the reason, and you'll want to be a part of that. And God will do something in your heart that he can't do any other way. But the main way I think that you can get a taste of purpose is to give small inputs over a long period of time as you serve and volunteer here on a Sunday morning. Because when you join God in what he's doing through his church and through this mission that he has given us, you get to experience things there that you can't experience any other way. And when you begin to serve, God's going to use that in some really cool way and do something really significant through that. And it is an incredible way to understand and to experience the purpose that God has for you. Now, I know that a lot of you have reasons that you say you can't come and serve on a Sunday. And I hear these reasons a lot. And I'll tell you some of them, and you can tell me if you think these are really the right ones. You may have a different one. But some of you are saying you're too busy. You just don't have the time to give. Well, I promise you that the people who serve here on a Sunday are just as busy as you are. They're just as busy as you are. They have just discovered that when they come and give a little bit of their time, they've tasted that purpose and they realize that they can reprioritize things in their life in order to give time to that on a Sunday. And I think if you ask them, most of them will tell you that they wouldn't have it any other way. because they've tasted purpose, and they've tasted and seen how God can do something through them, and that because of that, Sunday becomes the best day of the week for them, and they wouldn't trade it for anything. But some of you are saying, you don't want to miss the service, right? You like the music, you like the messages, and they're helpful and all that. Well, I've got a little secret for you that I'll share. We actually have three of them. So you can serve one, and you can attend one, and you don't have to miss a thing. So you can do that on a Sunday. It takes an extra hour of your time, an hour that I promise will be the best spent hour of your week. But some of you are also saying, well, I don't like kids, and I don't want to serve with kids. Well, I understand that. I really do. But some of you need to be serving with kids because you've got something so incredible to offer. You've got life experiences and things in your past, maybe successes, maybe failures, but things that you can share with them that they need to hear, they need to experience and see from you. And you've got so much to offer these kids. And you need to be in there even if you don't particularly like them. You might discover that you like them, at least that small group of them, more than you think. But if you really don't like kids, there's other places you can serve. You can serve on our guest services team. Did you know that people will make up their mind whether or not they're going to come back to our church within the first 5 minutes of being here? Within the first 5 minutes, before they ever hear a song or ever hear anything related to a message, they're going to decide when they walk in the door if they're welcome and if they belong. And if they feel like they're welcome and they feel like they're belong, then they're very likely going to come back. If that doesn't happen, then they'll sit through a service knowing that they're going to lunch and they'll never walk back through the doors again. It is an amazing thing what our guest services team do. They do an incredible job with that every week, and you can be a part of that with them. But if you really want to be valued, and you really want to be maybe the most valued person in our church, then you can join a team of people that helps provide breakfast for all of our other volunteers. I promise, you'll become beachside famous in an instant. They will love you for that. So there are all kinds of things you can do. There are all kinds of places that you can serve. We have a place for you, and we want you to become a part of that. But the excuse that I hear that is probably the thing that bothers me the most is when people say that I have nothing to offer. And I just think that is so far from the truth. God has created you in such a unique way. You are different from everybody else in this room. And it amazes me when I hear these stories of people who came and decided to serve on a Sunday, and they got involved and said, I don't really know what I can do. I don't really know what I'm good at, and I don't really know where I fit. But they come and they just give God a little bit of something to work with. And all of a sudden, we hear a story about how on a Sunday, somehow there was a conversation that began. Somebody walked through the door and struck up a conversation with a guest services person or this small group of elementary kids or middle school kids or whatever it is. A conversation began, and the person that was there said, you know what, just because of something I just read or something I just heard or because of some experience in my past, I don't know if there was anybody in this church that would have been better equipped to have that conversation than me. God just does that. He just weaves things together in ways that just never cease to amaze me. I asked my friend Chuck if I could share this story because I think it really illustrates this point well. But about 10 years ago, we were headed to Mexico to work in an orphanage I talk about all the time. And we're taking a group of students there, and they'd asked us to help with a project doing some plumbing work. And we didn't have a plumber. We'd looked everywhere. We'd asked all kinds of people. Just couldn't find anybody who was willing to go to Mexico with us who had skills in plumbing and could help us with that project. And so on a Sunday morning, about 2 weeks before we left, I'd said something about this. And after the service, a guy came up. I'd never met him. His name was Chuck. And he just said, hey, I'm a plumber. I own my own business. And I'd love to go to Mexico with you in a couple of weeks and help with that plumbing project. That was the first of about a dozen trips that Chuck and I have taken to Mexico together. And just this past summer, I've never known what his motivation was or why he volunteered to do that day, but this past summer we were there in Mexico and he was doing plumbing work, and it was an incredibly hot day and he was doing some really hard work and he has a bad back and he'd been busting concrete to get to some pipes that were buried in concrete, and he was just exhausted and he was hurting. And so we all went off to dinner and he stayed back and went to bed early. And I got back and I was feeling really guilty about putting Chuck in that position, and I walked in and there was a bunk room and he was asleep in one and I laid down in the other, and at least I thought he was asleep. And by the time he just said, Sean, and I said, yes, sir. And he said, did I ever tell you that I grew up in an orphanage? And I had no idea. And hearing that story was just kind of crazy. So I said, well, Chuck, what? Tell me about that. And he said, well, 95% of it was a really good experience. He said, but 5% of it I wouldn't wish on anybody. And he said, if there's ever anything I can do here to make these kids have a better experience than what I had, then you can count me in. And I just thought, man, that is so awesome. Because while I'm sitting here going, I hate this for him, you know, what kind of position did I put him in? How did I do this to him? And I felt so bad. He was sitting there going, there is no place I would rather be. Because God was using something that was a difficult experience in his past, and turning it into something incredibly good and purposeful for the future. And that is just an amazing picture of what God does, of what he desires to do in you. It may be a difficult circumstance from your past. It may be an incredible success that you've had, something that he has done and given you an experience that nobody else, most other people, will never have. But in some way, he can take those things and he can weave those into conversations. He can weave those into experiences and do something with them to put purpose behind them that you could never imagine or experience. That's what God wants to do. And that's what we want for you. That's what we want you to experience. We want you to engage in the mission of the church so that you can be a part of that and experience what it's like to be a part of God's purposes, to see the beauty of what's around you, to have this adventurously expectant attitude as you look forward to the future. And so, unapologetically, we're going to ask you this morning, we want you to engage in the mission of the church. Specifically this morning, we want you to volunteer to serve with us. We want you to come join one of our teams so that we can continue to do what we do, but not just because we need something from you, but because we really believe that you need this, that God wants to do this in you and through you, and that your experience, your perspective of who God is, your perspective of your world is going to change when you begin to do that. And so in just a few minutes, our guest services team is going to come, and they're going to pass buckets down the row. Usually when the buckets go past, we're asking you to put something in it. Today, we're asking you to take something out of it. Unfortunately for you, it's not money. But there are cards and there are pens. We want you to take a card, take a pen, and fill that out, turn it into a guest services person when you leave today. And what you are committing to by doing that is just one thing. You are saying that I'll let somebody call me this week, and I'll line up a time, and I'll come in on a Sunday morning to see what it looks like to serve here. Just come and experience it. I'll walk around. I'll spend a little bit of time on a Sunday morning experiencing what it looks like to serve and to volunteer. And then any commitment you choose to make beyond that will be up to you at that time. But that's what we're asking from you this morning. Because I really believe this. I really believe that if you begin to give some of your time to help somebody else have their best day ever by having their eyes open to who God is and what he wants to do in them, that you are ensuring that your best days are yet to come as well. But I don't want you to just take my word for that. I want you to hear from some other people who I think might mean a little more to you. So check this out and listen to them.
My name is Andrew Nelson. During the week, I'm a student at the Special Tactics Training Squadron on Herbert Field.
My name is Tony Trombetta. I work in a dental office during the day, and I am a small business owner.
Kevin Wojciechowskis. I'm an Air Force officer stationed in Eglin Air Force Base.
Hi, I'm Kate. During the week, I'm the wife of Barrett, mom to 3-year-old Arthur, and I work as a veterinarian.
My name is Angela Mason. I am a prosecutor at the state attorney's office. I get to prosecute bad guys during the week. On Sunday, I get to serve at Beachside on Upstreet as the storyteller telling the story to kindergarten through fifth grade.
When I first started serving at Beachside, I was concerned that was going to be a job. That was going to be something that was going to take up a lot of my time.
When I first started serving at Upstreet, I was terrible, because I was so convinced that it had to be really strict. But over time, I realized it did not have to be quite as rigid as I was making it. And once I learned it was actually fun and laid back, it's become really awesome.
I didn't really know if I'd be, you know, getting people coffee or just holding doors open, but I was just willing to give my time and see where it would take me.
When I first started serving at Beachside, Beachside was actually a portable church over at Choctaw High School. I filled out the card when they asked for volunteers, and what I expected was just to be manual labor unloading trailers because of all the environments they were creating.
What surprised me the most about serving at guest services was how much of an impact you can make at just greeting people and opening doors for them and giving them a smiling face.
What I expected out of it was completely different from what I received. I expected to serve and help, and this really took me outside of what I considered a bad place and put me in with people that really cared about me.
I walk away learning as much as the kids do every single week.
Serving with middle schoolers is surprising because they face a lot of challenges during the week, more than I ever remember facing as a middle schooler. But on the flip side of that, it is just so much fun hanging out with them on Sunday mornings and during retreats and camps that we go on. We just have a blast.
You know, smiles are contagious, and so you smile a little bit, and then they smile, and then you walk away, you just kind of feel better. Like, well, I've been smiling a lot. This is awesome.
What surprised me the most about serving in Wampoland is the amount of support that Beachside gets its volunteers. It can be anything from a snack in the morning to an encouraging note in the afternoon, just to having everything planned out, the crafts ready, each and every Sunday morning when I walk in.
If you're on the fence about serving, what I have to say to you is do it. You wouldn't believe what it can do for others, but especially for yourself. It can be completely life-changing.
It's only an hour a week at your time. It kind of just becomes the whole going to church experience. It's not that much time, and it's a great way to give back to your church community.
And the time that I know that I waste on my phone or my tablet, I can sacrifice a little bit of that to make a difference in a student's life.
No words that I can say can really describe or tell you about what it feels like to see the look on the children's faces as they're absorbing these truths about Jesus. The fun that they're having, you experience it with them.
Just come try it. There is a role for everybody in Upstreet. I get to tell the story, other people run production and get to do all that fun stuff, and just take the leap. It is so much fun. And if you don't love it, this church is amazing at finding other places for you to serve, so you can do your part. But I promise, if you come one time, you will be hooked and never want to go back.
Sunday is the best day ever because I get to hang out with and praise God with a group of students that are just so much fun, and the other volunteers in transit have become some of my closest friends.
There's a lot of things that make Sunday the best day. It all starts in the morning when I go to my classroom, nobody's there. I look over the lesson plan that was prepared, and I pray over the classroom. Then when the kids come, I'm able to teach them about what the truth is that we're teaching during the week, that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, and Jesus wants to be their friend.
It helps me to get refocused, to get challenged, to find community and find fellowship, to feel loved.
In my job, I see a lot of the bad all the time. And then I come home and watch the news, and it's a lot more bad. But on Sunday, I see this whole generation of kiddos who just want to love Jesus and know that he loves them. And then they take that message out into the world. They love donating. They sing and worship with unfettered joy. And they make us smile and laugh, too.
All of that happens before noon. After that, I have the day to be carefree and know that I have a sense of accomplishment no matter what I do.
It restores my faith in humanity. As dramatic as that is, it is so true. And that's why Sunday is the best day ever.